Good evening. The president today did not merely insist he was justified in declassifying American intelligence secrets to rebut and perhaps falsely embarrass his critics. He insisted he was the truth teller in the equation. And his supporters again insisted today there were efforts by Iraq to buy uranium in Niger. All this against the backdrop of the special prosecutor in Plaingate telling a court that the administration's actions were part of a, quote, concerted action to discredit, punish, or seek revenge against Ambassador Joseph Wilson for his criticism of the rationale for war in Iraq. Our fifth story on the countdown, Ambassador Wilson joins us in a moment, but first, the president's extraordinary explanation. He told students at Johns Hopkins University that he wanted people to see the truth, again insisted that he couldn't really talk about the leak investigation, and then promptly really talked about the leak investigation.
There's an ongoing legal proceeding which precludes me from talking a lot about the case. There's also an ongoing investigation. It's a serious investigation. I will say this, that after we liberated Iraq, there was questions in people's minds about, you know, about the basis on which I made statements, in other words, going into Iraq. And so I decided to declassify the NIE for a reason. I wanted to see people to see what some of those statements were based on. That's what I wanted to see. I wanted people to see the truth. And thought it made sense for people to see the truth. And that's why I declassified the document.
But the parts of the document, the NIE, that were declassified and then revealed by Scooter Libby, namely the claim that Saddam Hussein was trying to purchase uranium ore from Niger, had already been deemed at best dubious by Mr. Bush's own spy services. A memo from the National Intelligence Council sent to the White House in January 2003 baldly stated that the story was baseless and should be ignored, yet the claim still made it into the State of the Union address and into Scooter Libby's arsenal. And then, according to the testimony of the former New York Times reporter Judith Miller, Mr. Libby exaggerated, if not outright lied, about the importance of the Niger connection in the NIE, telling her it was a key judgment of the document and that Iraq was, quote, vigorously trying to procure uranium. In fact, the claim was not a judgment at all, and the NIE contained nothing about Iraq vigorously pursuing uranium. Also tonight, we know on which donkey Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald is intent on pinning this tale. In his court filings, Mr. Fitzgerald says the idea of a campaign to discredit Ambassador Wilson was first floated by Vice President Dick Cheney, that Cheney specifically directed his chief of staff, Mr. Libby, to share information about the NIE uranium claim and Ambassador Wilson's trip to Niger, and that it was Mr. Cheney who was the first to insinuate that said trip had been set up by the ambassador's wife, the undercover CIA agent at the time, anyway, Valerie Plame. As promised, joining us now, Ambassador Joseph Wilson. Thank you again for your time tonight, sir.
Hi, Keith. Good to be with you.
The president says today he declassified that NIE to show the American people the truth, yet the information that was in it had already been thoroughly debunked as, at best, wildly unreliable. The White House says the president did not know it had been debunked. Do you find that all plausible?
Well, of course, over the weekend, there was a lot of reporting that fleshed out the assessment of the total document, the National Intelligence Estimate. I have known for a long time, since the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence report came out, that the Senate was informed in October of 2002 and the White House shortly thereafter, that in the judgment of the CIA and the intelligence community, the British had stretched and or exaggerated the case of uranium sales from Africa to Iraq. The National Intelligence Officer wrote a piece in the middle of January, again before the State of the Union address, in which he said, as you pointed out, the charge was baseless. The president, I think, is laudable in wanting this information to have come out. I would have loved to have had it come out after my opinion piece appeared, because it would have, of course, substantiated what I said in that opinion piece. Instead, Mr. Libby leaked certain portions of it, which were not sustainable by all the facts, and my wife and I have had to endure a three-year smear campaign, orchestrated, as the filing says, by multiple sources in the White House and elements within the RNC and the right-wing echo chamber.
Multiple officials in the White House, to quote it exactly from Mr. Fitzgerald's documents that came out over the weekend. The vice president's named as a designer of the plan. We had Mr. Libby's name mentioned in there, Mr. Rove. Even at this late date, though, are you surprised by how big this effort to discredit you and your wife allegedly was?
Well, I had been told a couple of years ago that it was a group of people around the office of the vice president. I hope then, and I hope now, that it didn't extend to constitutional officers, the president or the vice president. I think we would benefit from their releasing the White House transcripts of their conversations with Mr. Fitzgerald so we can all know precisely what they knew then and what they testified to.
Do you believe that what the president said today amounted to an admission to starting this ball rolling or this snowball going downhill?
Well, I think the president was well within his rights to declassify the entire document. I would have loved that, as I said. Mm-hmm. It was really just the selective leaking of portions of it that should be troublesome. I'd also point out, of course, that the declassification of the document was not matched by a publication of the document. It was selectively leaked to one reporter, and it was a perpetuation, essentially, of the disinformation campaign that had been in place when they made the State of the Union address in the first place.
Mr. Fitzgerald still has not filed any charges that directly relate to the leaking of your wife's name or any other secret information. He made it clear from the beginning of this that he was probably not going down that route. If this is all we get prosecutorially, are you satisfied? Do you feel vindicated?
Well, let me just say, first of all, that Mr. Fitzgerald has said repeatedly, both in the indictment and in subsequent filings, that Valerie was a classified officer, and as a consequence, she was covered by law. And anybody who leaked her name is in violation of the national security of the country, even if it's not prosecutable as the Intelligence Identities Protection Act. It is what is called in the business a security violation. I find it appalling that the president continues to retain on his staff these multiple White House officials who were involved in leaking her name, beginning with Karl Rove. I believe he's betrayed the national security of the country. I believe he and the others have betrayed the public trust of the country. I can't imagine the president wanting them still on his staff.
I mentioned earlier that today there were two more defenders of the administration who insisted still today that Iraq indeed tried to get uranium in Niger. Can you clear this up for us? Firstly, on National Public Radio today, Joseph DeGeneva, who was an attorney in the Reagan administration, said that your original report on Niger, I'm quoting him, supported the conclusion that Iraq had sought uranium, end of the quote. Did your original report conclude that?
Well, Mr. DeGeneva has been wrong on so many things, and he's certainly wrong on this. It never supported any such conclusion. What Republicans tend to argue is that a meeting at which uranium was never raised might have supported the president's allegation that Iraq attempted to purchase significant quantities of uranium from Africa. Again, where uranium was never mentioned. But about Mr. DeGeneva, who's an attorney in this town, he has also continued to say it's not clear that Valerie was a covert officer, despite the fact that it shows up in the indictment and in subsequent filings by Mr. Fitzgerald and was in his press conference. I'm not sure that that's the kind of attorney that I would hire if I were in some legal jeopardy.
Is that the same story as this that was purported online today by Christopher Hitchens, who was reporting is on occasion very sound? He wrote that in February of 99, a man named Wissam al-Zahawi was the Iraqi representative at that point of the International Atomic Energy Agency, paid an official visit to Niger. He doesn't come out and explicitly say that that trip in 99 was to seek uranium, but his headline does. It reads, sorry, everyone, but Iraq did go uranium shopping in Niger. Is there merit to the Hitchens story?
No, Mr. al-Zahawi, Wissam al-Zahawi, who was a man that I know from my time as the acting ambassador in Baghdad during the first Gulf War in the first Bush administration. He was ambassador to the Vatican, and he made a trip in 1999 to several West and Central African countries for the express purpose of inviting chiefs of state to violate the ban on travel to Iraq. He has said repeatedly to the press, he's now in retirement, and also to the International Atomic Energy Agency, to their satisfaction, that uranium was not on his agenda.
Ambassador Joseph Wilson, as always, sir, great thanks for taking the time to join us.
Good to be with you, Keith.
Thank you. Even before today's revelations, the president was hurting on the credibility and competency fronts. A new Washington Post poll putting his job approval at 38%, 60% of those polled disapproving, 47% strongly disapproving of the way he's handled the presidency, double the number who strongly approve. Time to bring in MSNBC's David Schuster in Washington. David, good evening to you.
Good evening, Keith.
These poll numbers, they're pretty self-explanatory on the surface, but this little semantical dance today about declassifying the national intelligence estimate that he at best should have known was full of false information, is that expected to impact those poll numbers, those specific areas of the president's reputation?
Well, it could impact them, and it could bring them down, Keith, to the extent that the American people see this as a further bolstering in the narrative they already have of this administration, and that is the idea that this is an administration that cherry-picks intelligence and plays by its own rules. We saw that in the case for war before the Iraq War began. You saw that again 3 years ago in how they treated the previous guest, Joe Wilson, and tried to attack administration critics. And you're even seeing that today in the very speech that we're showing now the president, his description of what is happening in Iraq is at odds with what his own military commanders are saying there on the ground.
Even Republicans have been asking for full disclosure by the administration on this topic. Senator Spector saying yesterday that the president and the vice president owe a specific explanation about what they did to the American people. Is the president's admission about the declassification of the NIE going to be enough to cover the Republican response to this?
No, because even the Republicans are pointing out that the Bush administration in this case did not follow its own procedures. The idea that the only people who knew about this declassification, the president, the vice president, Scooter Libby, that doesn't follow procedures. A number of Republicans want to know how come former CIA director George Tenet was kept in the dark. Furthermore, there are a lot of questions that even Republicans suggest go right to the heart of the president's credibility crisis, and that is they're asking for the president to explain why did he make those statements 3 years ago saying that he did not know of anybody in his administration who had leaked classified or sensitive information. That's the problem many Republicans are having.
Over the weekend, and this is the devil's advocate question here, the Associated Press was citing an unidentified lawyer apparently knowledgeable about the case saying that the president did not specifically authorize Mr. Libby to share that declassified information from the NIE. We've got another anonymous source in this, somebody leaking information about a leak investigation, information that's favorable to the president. Given how utterly wrong the leak from Mr. Libby, who was then identified as a former Hill staffer, turned out to be, can anyone reasonably trust anonymous sources at this point, or should we just assume all of them have an agenda and their own versions of truth?
Well, I would think the latter. In fact, in this particular case, the source that is talking to the AP wasn't reasonable at all, because it doesn't make any sense that somebody, the president, would not want this information to get in the hands of the public or the media, but would say, well, go ahead and declassify it. Declassifying it does exactly that, so there's a contradiction. But the other thing to focus on, Keith, and that is the next shoe to drop that many people here in this town believe is the whole idea of most of the conversation that Judy Miller remembers of her meeting with Scooter Libby on July 8th that was prompted by the vice president saying, yes, you've got the authority to talk to Judy Miller from the president. Most of the conversation she remembers was not about the national intelligence estimate, but was about Valerie Plame, about her identity, where she worked at the CIA. And furthermore, leading up to that meeting in June, the vice president and Scooter Libby had discussed where Valerie Plame worked at the CIA. So a lot of people in Washington are buzzing about the idea of exactly what was the vice president's role, what kind of instructions did he give to Scooter Libby as far as what to focus on in this meeting, and secondly, did the vice president at any point in his conversations with the president make some sort of mention of this other information, not the NIE, but Valerie Plame's status at the CIA? Did the president and vice president talk about that?
Yeah, that's the one small gap left in the timeline that has not been thoroughly mapped from everything from information to a global positioning satellite read, that leap from the NIE to Plame. We'll see how that one turns out. MSNBC's David Schuster, great thanks tonight.
Thanks, Keith.
And finally on this subject,